Welcome to Festival Nation on the Pantheon Podcast Network. Here's your host, Marla Davies.
Hey now, it's Festival Nation, where we usually celebrate the magical world of music festivals. But with the state of the world right now, our celebrating has been temporarily suspended. You know, as much as it promised to be such an amazing festival season for 2020, so much to look forward to, the words suddenly postponed, rescheduled, and canceled have become more overused in our vocabulary. Here at Festival Nation, we've been partnering with the music festival Skull and Roses, celebrating the music and the community of the Grateful Dead. The event was scheduled for April the 2nd through the 5th, a beautiful springtime festival at the Ventura County Fairgrounds on the Central California coast. But as you know, all these types of events are not happening for now. The dominoes began to fall when we heard the news about South by Southwest. Then it was Coachella and Stagecoach. Then the NBA, and then clubs and bars and restaurants. And now the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, usually the last weekend of April and the first weekend of May, has been postponed until the fall. And now Bonnaroo in Tennessee, the annual festival in June, will be also postponed until September. All eyes on Bottle Rock now. That's in Napa, Memorial Day weekend, and as of today, they have not yet postponed, canceled, or rescheduled. Here in Northern California, as in many other places in America, we're in shelter in place. Schools are closed along with most of the places that we like to go and meet. And you know what? Most of us really don't know how to act. We're slow to embrace the new normal. I know I am. It's been recommended we shouldn't hang in any groups over 10, and there's lots of social distancing. And probably the hardest part, no hugging. I think we're all a bit in shock. You know I am. It feels like a science fiction movie, not the real world, not the world that I am used to. You know, I started this podcast because I love music. Music has been an ever constant friend in my life. And I love enjoying music with other people and gathering and socializing and dancing while listening to live music. My first concert was in 1977 at Three Rivers Stadium in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It was a festival. Festivals were different back then. It was just one day, three bands, Gary Wright, Peter Frampton, and the Beach Boys, and I was 15 years old. Somehow my mom said it was okay for me and my friend to take the city bus to downtown Pittsburgh and check out the festival. After that day, I was absolutely hooked. I'm sure you have similar stories about your favorite concert too and your favorite festival, and I'd love to hear from you. We got to stay connected. The Festival Nation podcast has always been about celebrating, and during these strange days, it's still important to do just that, to laugh and to connect and to enjoy music, albeit at a distance. And here at Festival Nation, we're going to continue to celebrate festivals, and we'll keep you up to date about music festivals too. But for now, we'll celebrate some of your favorite past music festivals. So please reach out to me, festivalnationpodcast@gmail.com, or on social at Facebook and Instagram at Festival Nation Podcast, or Twitter at Nation Festival. I'd love to hear your stories of your favorite concert memories. Let's connect. We need to make the best of this together. Hashtag we are everywhere. And here at Festival Nation, we will always celebrate our love of music. Coming up on the show later, we're going to talk to longtime Grateful Dead publicist Dennis McNally about the upcoming postponed Skull and Roses Festival, the strange days we're living in, and the undying loyalty of Grateful Dead fans.
And my theory to all that was simply that nobody ever left.
That's
you
right.
Know? Once they got sucked into the cauldron, then, okay, I'm in.
I'm in. Once you're in, you're in. You're not getting out.
No.
But first, please welcome CEO of the Pantheon Podcast Network and host of the podcast Rock and Roll Archaeology and music lover and festival lover, Christian Swain, who shares his thoughts on social distancing.
I read an article by a mathematician that, laid out the need to enact social distancing across the country, that If you just look at this exponentially, the way math works,
right?
You know, there are 3,000 cases today, all right? And and those are just the known cases for testing, of which we as a country have done a very poor job of testing.
Right. So, and those are people, some people don't even have symptoms, right? So they're carriers. Right.
And they're carriers and they're passing it on. So, and that's the problem is that without social distancing is what this guy was saying. You can 10x this thing in 30 days. So 3,000 today means 3 million cases in 30 days. And the problem is 15% needs some form of hospitalization. So that hospitalization is 450,000 people, which will flood the healthcare system. And so it's not just, you know, grandma and your friends with compromised immune systems, but it's if you get into an accident and need a hospital bed, well, you're shit out of luck.
Right, you're not going to get in.
Yeah.
And, I think people don't understand. I mean, I don't even 100% understand the whole, okay, social distancing. What does that mean? Does that mean we just stay home? Is that what it means?
Well, okay. Yeah, that's what it means. It means that you and your family should hunker down your house. Mm-hmm. And you can go outside and engage in activities and stuff like that, but you need to stay 6 feet away from any other person other than your family unit.
Okay, I gotta hunker down. I mean, it's taken a little while to get it in my head. It's like, okay, we gotta stay home.
It's not the natural human behavior. It's you know, the problem is that, you know, this is it's not like a bomb went off and everybody can go, oh my God, look, you know, this is it's a bug that you don't know, and there's a lot of misinformation that's being spread around. Again. You know, for 85% of the people, you're going to have, mild flu, cold-like symptoms. And, you'll be able to survive, and it probably won't be even that bad sort of thing. But for 15% of the people, it will be bad. For, if you're over 80, you know, the death rate is close to 20%. Mm-hmm. And certainly if you're for the over elderly. 60... Yeah. If you're over 80, it's close to 20%. If you're over 60, you know, it's about 2%, you know, and if you're, you know, under, you know, if you're between 40 and 60, it's like less than 1%. And, you know, if you're under 40, then, you know, it's minuscule. And that's great for society at large. You know, it's better that old people are dying than young people are dying when you get right down to it.
So, right.
You know, that's just evolution and the human animal. So those reasons are good. But the fact is that what is the big concern will be the overwhelming of the healthcare system. That's what's the big problem in Italy right now, is that there's not enough hospital beds, there's not enough ventilators and doctors. So just imagine, let's say you do get in a car accident, you've got to go to the hospital. You may be getting worked on by a doctor who's been working for 6 weeks, 16-hour days, and, you know, can barely keep it together. You're in a triage situation. You're in a war zone.
You know,
you may be National Guard doctors that are working on you, or who knows?
They're bringing in retired doctors or anybody who has any sort of medical experience here.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. That's what they're doing in Italy. And unfortunately, that is the model that we have to look at, because that is where we're at. We went down that road. We didn't do what China did. We didn't do what Singapore did. We didn't do what South Korea did or Hong Kong. We did what Italy did. We did what France did. And we're doing what the UK has done. And, you know.
Well, I wouldn't tout China right now, because if they had been a little more forthcoming early on as well. Maybe this we would have known
that's
about
different
this
subject.
Sort of quick.
Different.
Well, yeah, yes,
different subject. Different subject. But once they did, they fucking locked down the country and, you know, locked down Wuhan, and then pretty much locked down the country. You know, especially for social distancing. You look at the curve. China has flattened out the infection
rates. Yes, well, that's for sure. Well, get this. For instance, my neighbor just came over. You know, we were 6 feet apart or whatnot, but he came over real quick and he said that somebody that he knows, the neighbors are in Hawaii So they can't pick their daughter up at the airport. They're sending her home from college because somebody tested positive for COVID. So they're like, kids, you got to go home. And she's flying from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
What yeah. on earth? It's that craziness. It's just, that's how it keeps going. So how do you change it? I mean, people are slowly getting on. And if someone said, we're about 2 weeks away from where Italy is at this point. If we keep yeah. going, we do what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we are. And again, that's not where we want to be, because again, the major concern right away will be overwhelming the healthcare system.
Right. So, okay. Advice. Festival Nation, of course, celebrating the, you know, love of music festivals. That's out the window.
Let me first say, okay, that I'm not a doctor. Don't take your medical advice from me.
You just play one on the podcast.
Apparently I do. What you should do is go to cdc.gov.
There you go.
Go to who.int. Those are your best sources for medical information that one can find. Well, you know, our entire world is built around social interaction.
That's very true.
And so that's where you know we with Festival Nation and Pantheon are most concerned is, you know, the music industry and what's happened. And so if I can, you know South by Southwest was obviously the moment that everybody will remember.
Yes.
In the future, that this was when things got serious in our world. I had heard rumors building up to that, and I knew that if South by Southwest was going to go, then Coachella would be the next thing to pay attention to, because it's in that time frame of April, and it's a major festival, maybe the most major festival in the United States. And then everything would roll downhill from there.
Right, like a little domino effect.
Yeah, of course, a domino effect. And sure enough, as we know, specific to what we've been working on, Skull and Roses, you and I immediately began talking about the eventuality of Skull and Roses
right.
Canceling.
Well, being the fact that it's right between South by Southwest and Coachella. Well, there's yeah. just going to happen.
It seemed pretty obvious that was going to happen. And, you know, it wasn't until, I think, Friday that the official announcement came. They began to send up, a trial balloon earlier in the week, letting people know that this was probably coming. And of course, you know, these folks are all trying to do the best they can. We are in extraordinary times. We are in uncharted territory, especially for the concert business. This is not localized. This is not like 9/11, where, after a few days, you could begin to say, okay, we might be able to normalize life, even though there were incidences, specifically in the music business. I can think of the Ariana Grande concert in Manchester, sure. for example, which was, you can directly correlate to from 9/11. It's a very similar event. The Bataclan in Paris mm-hmm. as well. Again, this actually affected that. But, you know, you could say that these events were, few and far between out there. They weren't affecting thousands, hundreds of thousands, and perhaps millions of people. A pandemic will do that. And unfortunately for us in this business, the social interaction is exactly how this problem exacerbates.
Right. Well, these big festivals, well, they got it, right? They're like, this is just crazy.
Yeah.
But I think we're talking about social distancing, and what we're not getting is kind of these smaller gatherings.
We're starting to get that. As a professional musician myself,
okay,
with gigs out in the world, of course, nothing like Coachella. One day, I'd love to have that. But, in playing in clubs and bars, and we have some private parties scheduled and some street festivals, art and wine stuff that are upcoming.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and if you pay attention to Italy and France, France closed everything but grocery and medical outlets. That is it. Italy, the same thing.
Right. And they've also recommend the no, double kissing in France.
Which is, that's a huge cultural
change.
It's huge. when you think about
it's huge.
America, you know, we shake hands, and
yes,
and again, that is perhaps even worse, because the virus when it is coughed or sneezed, lays on surfaces, and it's quite possible for somebody to come around. Up to the some estimates are 3 days that the virus can live outside of its host on a plane surface that then could be picked up by somebody else in that period, that time period. And then all they have to do is touch their face, their nose, mouth, or eyes, and they are now infected.
Right. Thank you, Dr. Christian. We know,
yeah, again,
we know that.
I have only gotten this information from cdc.gov and who.int. So this is, to me, it seems pretty obvious and cautionary without being panicky.
Right, but there's a little learning curve. I mean, just basically I'm washing my hands better than I ever have, and I'm really conscious of touching my face. So I heard a British guy, and he was talking about all this the other day, and he said, you know, really no hugging, guys. But he said, this is great because I'm British. And I'm reserved, and well, I don't like all that touching anyway.
Yeah.
This is perfect for those people that hate hugging, because they're like, thank God, no one's going to hug me today.
Yeah, well, I'm a hugger.
I'm a hugger, too. I'm a hugger.
This will be difficult. The shaking of the hands, I think, is pretty obvious. You should not do that.
Right.
Period. End of story. I saw something yesterday where the amount of potential transmission with the shaking of the hands being say 100. You know, a fist bump is like 50, and an elbow is like 30. Why don't we just bow? Japanese.
Someone just told me curtsying is coming back. Curtsying and bowing. Curtsy. And you know what else is big now? Just winking at each other.
I prefer live long and prosper, the Vulcan greeting. So,
I know, no touching. It's hard.
I only want to engage in that so I can watch my wife's eyes roll every time I do it.
I like that too. I mean, I'm a Trekkie, so I'm right there with you on the live long and prosper. Let's live long and prosper.
And exactly. Isn't that the proper greeting to give somebody?
I love it. I love it. I'm with you on that. So, I was going to bring back the bump dance move. We were practicing that last night. Just hip bumping. Bumping.
Yeah. Well, probably in a 5% potential transmission range, but sure. Far better than
if you have to
shaking one's hands. But you know, the next question is like, how long is this going to go on?
Right, and no one knows really.
Nobody knows for sure. Although I think there are some models that we can look to. I think the most obvious one is the Spanish flu epidemic in 1918. That came in three phases: a early winter spring phase in 1918. It then went away, and then roared back in the fall and winter of 1918-1919, and that is where most of the deaths occurred. Now, of course, we are living in a far greater medical condition than existed.
Right, they didn't really know about washing hands, so we're a little better.
We are in a better position. We obviously can disseminate information much quicker. And again, I think this is where social distancing is really the key.
Really important.
So today,
calm down.
I can't keep
stressing
that. Go out and enjoy the day, bike ride, hike. Grab your guitar. Play music, and even if you're a band, you might be able to do that as long as you practice some sort of social distancing.
Right, do all those home projects you've been meaning to do.
There's that. You can get online and you can engage in a YouTube activity, a live stream, and in fact, Pantheon Podcast did a live podcast event on Friday night. We had about 50 people show up, and we had Matt Butler from the Everyone Orchestra stop in and tell us how it is affecting his livelihood, because he has several tours scheduled. We had Jorma Kalkinen from Jefferson Airplane, who was going to join and tried, but we couldn't quite figure out technically how to get him on, but he will be back in a future episode. We're thinking about doing this once a week, just to talk a little bit about what we do and how we can all survive this situation. And the fact is, this podcasting is a great entertainment option.
Absolutely,
when you are isolated. So
yeah, I mean, it's a kind of, we're going to have to live virtually for a while, and that's kind of where things have been going anyway. But now it's for real.
Yeah.
So yeah, just enjoy your online. I mean, boy, people are on Facebook like nuts. I mean, you post something, you're getting a million comments in 3 seconds. I want to say you commented on my picture within one, two. There's Christian right there.
Yeah.
Well, it's real. I mean, that's what people are doing. So I think that's really good advice. I mean, just go virtual. As much as people are like, get outside, go out and socialize. That's no, stay home.
Yeah.
Go virtual, listen to Pantheon podcasts, check out all the wonderful podcasts on the network. Really, you could spend days listening to the podcasts, and there's lots and lots of episodes.
That's what we're here for, to provide as much musical edutainment as we possibly can. As you know, we are continually growing and providing varying voices, telling the story of music from a variety of angles. So please go to pantheonpodcast.com and find all of the shows. Pick one or two that sound of interest to you, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.
Absolutely. And for Festival Nation, I haven't thrown this to you yet, but I was thinking, what am I going to do? And then I thought maybe I could do sort of a history of festivals that people have known and loved.
Of course.
Right?
Of
we can course, go back to Day on the Greens and... all these wonderful festivals. So we'll maybe do more of a little retrospective and feature some of the music.
And I think we'll do a couple more of these shows over the next couple of months as we begin to flatten this curve, perhaps find some medical treatments before a vaccine arrives that mitigates the health issues with especially those at high risk. And we can maintain a legitimate healthcare system, things will begin to come back. And,
they will, absolutely.
And what does everybody want to do after a disaster? They want to party.
Yeah.
So,
yes, that's so true.
The concert business will come roaring back, that I can guarantee you.
It'll be great. So just, the advice is kind of hunker down.
Yeah.
And everybody, just take a deep breath in, exhale.
Yeah. Yeah,
take
don't
a
panic.
Pause. Oh yeah, but, that's funny. I'm saying this as a joke. People aren't getting my little sense of humor, but I said, when in doubt, panic.
Yeah, no,
I'm just joking, really. Really, kids, I'm joking.
No. We again, the simple thing is, as a family, hunker down. You don't have to panic by either. I think that's getting a little out of hand.
No, of course.
The supply chains themselves are robust. And are currently in a good situation.
I thought I did stock up. And the only reason is because I usually go to the grocery store every day. And I thought that probably wasn't smart. So I stocked up so I wouldn't have to go, for a longer period of time. That's my rationale on the stocking up a bit, I go every single day. And that just isn't really helping things. That's not social distancing. Trust me, if you've been to the grocery store, there's very little social distancing going on there.
Yes. So keep that in mind.
Yes.
And if you do, follow what Italy's done, which is basically, a single member prepares, goes to the store, gets the stuff, comes back, and, does a minimal amount of disinfecting themselves from being
there
out
you go.
There.
Yeah, don't travel to the supermarket. No, make it as a family adventure, and probably don't go to the mall.
No. Again, but outside is good.
Outside is good. Get some fresh air.
Yes. In fact, there is a possibility that, fresh air and sunshine is a cure for many things.
I love the vitamin D. In fact, I'm actually putting air in my bike tires right now because here in the Bay Area, this is also strange. We're getting rain for the first time in ever.
And yeah, so since which, January.
Yeah, which keeps people more inside. But if there's a break in the rain, I'm going to go enjoy some, you know, beautiful air and get out and, you know, as my mom used to say, get the stink off you.
That's what I'm going to do right now.
Okay, let's do that. All right. Always a pleasure. I'm looking forward to all the wonderful programming on Pantheon Podcast Network. And stay with us on Festival Nation. We will continue to supply some wonderful stories and great music. And we will still celebrate.
Thanks all for all the work you're doing, Marla. It's fantastic. All right.
And we'll keep you in touch on Skull and Roses. And it'll be back. It will be back.
Yes,
no
it
doubt.
Will be back. Okay.
Okay. Have a great day. Bye-bye. Bye, Christian.
Festival Nation, celebrating the magical world of music festivals.
Thanks to Christian Swain, CEO of the Pantheon Podcast Network, host of the podcast Rock and Roll Archaeology, and festival lover. Coming up next, you'll hear from longtime Grateful Dead publicist Dennis McNally. More after this.
Festival Nation, celebrating the magical world of music festivals.
I'm Marla Davies. Today on Festival Nation, we're talking about how the coronavirus has affected our festival world. The words rescheduled, postponed, and canceled has become commonplace with South by Southwest, Coachella, Stagecoach, Skull and Roses, New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, and Bonnaroo leading the charge. Please welcome the publicist of the now postponed Skull and Roses Festival and longtime Grateful Dead publicist, Dennis McNally, who is commiserating with me about my latest grocery store shopping trip.
Yeah. I saw that picture. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And I'm really embarrassed that I've just gotten swooped into the mania pretty much.
Oh yeah. Well, we went again yesterday. And we have food for at least a couple of weeks.
Right.
And toilet paper for longer.
Yes, of course.
I don't think we're quite as buzzed as some other people, but you know.
Hey, I wish I could have got more. There was no toilet paper today. And then my girlfriend and I were having like the major discussion yesterday. Seriously, if we're in lockdown, we better have enough wine. Let's get our priorities here.
That is one of the great things about quitting drinking.
Yes.
It saves you a bucket of money.
Yeah, and you lose weight, I'm sure.
Not enough. I cannot believe, but anyway. Thanks for that thought.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, then I got a bottle of vodka too, just in case.
Just in case, you know.
Yeah, and you never that stuff's not gonna go bad.
But yeah, we've got wine all over this goddamn house. So if I ever change my mind, and I could. I mean, I didn't necessarily
This will lead you to drink. This will lead you to drink, I'm telling you.
Well, you know. At the very least, the alcohol will kill the bugs.
That's what I'm thinking at this point. Things are just going to be ferment. The bug is going to ferment. That's it inside
That's
me. Right. Anyway, Skull and Roses. I mean, it was just a matter of time before they were going to postpone, and they finally officially gave the word, right?
Yes. So my main comment, it is a postponement, not a cancellation. There's an enormous amount of effort being expended by management with the management of all these bands to try to find an alternate date. And I don't know the first thing about what they're even trying to, you know, whether it's as soon as this summer or maybe like next year, but as I say, it's a postponement, not a cancellation, but it is in looking at the American landscape, it wasn't a decision that took any arguing. We all have to do this. There are no options.
No, it was just a matter of time. When Coachella went, I felt like they were, you know, Coachella first, South by Southwest, and then Coachella, and then Skull and Roses is wedged in between. How can it not happen? So.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I mean, when the NBA.
Yeah,
shuts down when March Madness. I mean, I don't.
Wait, when Bob Weir cancels his Wolf Brothers tour,
there you go.
He was actually one of my top concerns because I thought, what is Bobby going to do? Because that man is at every show performing with every person.
Yeah.
What's no, Bobby going to do? I practice a lot, I guess, in a studio.
I was gonna say go sit in at Sweetwater, except that's closed too. It's been interesting watching my calendar suddenly
dry up,
you know, start showing you know blank space,
right?
Instead of entries, you know, that's canceled.
Things that we look forward to. I mean, things that you know we need just to you know de-stress.
You know. I think I'm going to start taking walks around the neighborhood.
Right.
You know, I just don't, for the time being, I'm not really wild about, and bluntly, as has been reminded me, as, you know, been reminded me of for the last, you know, couple of weeks, because I don't particularly feel in that age group,
yeah.
But I am in that age group. And I've had people very sweet, like my daughters, very sweetly and tenderly say, I'm concerned about you.
Right, Dad. God.
Dad, that age group. And it was like, excuse me, young whippersnapper. No, but all kidding aside, it's, you know.
It's funny and because we don't feel our age. And I was just talking to my 16-year-old, and he's like, I hate to tell you, Mom, but you're in that age. I go, I'm not in that age. I'm still in my 50s. Hello. I'm holding on. I am holding on.
I hear you.
Well, even Tom Hanks. And it's so strange that, you know, he would be test positive, and then they said, and he is 63.
Right. Oh, so old.
So old, right? And it's funny because we were just chatting about Skull and Roses, and I thought, well, hippies are pretty, you know, resilient, but it's a bit of an older crowd there, maybe. So
Skull and Roses is mixed. There's a fair number of us, and there were a remarkable number of kids, you know, what I would call kids, which is to say everybody under 40.
Yeah.
But, I mean, kids going down to the, you know, teens. That's Skull and Roses. It was one of the – I went to see a J-Rad show last summer at the Frost Amphitheater, and I sort of – in the middle of the show, out of curiosity, I sort of turned around and looked, and it was exactly the same to my eye. And I wasn't doing a survey, but to my eye, it was exactly the same demographic as any Grateful Dead audience I ever saw, which is to say, from 15 to 70,
yeah,
and beyond. I mean, you know, on both ends, it's just
I can agree on that.
No, there's no difference. It's the same appeal. There's a slice of every demographic, of every so-called generation, however you measure that, that's going to be weird enough to love the Grateful Dead.
So, right, and it's sort of, you're right, it's the same demo throughout time. Nothing changes. It's kind of Twilight Zone-y, really, kind of strange,
well,
but cool.
It is. Well, it's different from everybody else's. My theory, at least, was that unlike other groups that lasted a long time, we never stopped growing. Grateful Dead had the weirdest sort of size, you know, if you measured their audience, it was like, you know, teeny in the 60s, in 65, you know, starts and grows, and it just kept growing. And there was the one big spike with Touch of Grey.
Yeah.
But in general, there was a steady increase. And my theory to all that was simply that nobody ever left.
That's
you
right.
Know? Once they got sucked into the cauldron, then, okay, I'm in.
I'm in. Once you're in. You're not getting out.
No.
It's going to be really hard. And why would you want to?
I didn't see anybody that, you know, I mean, once in a blue moon, somebody would say, okay, I quit. I've had enough. But
that's funny. Yeah, nobody quits the Grateful Dead. Nah. But it's funny because I started seeing the Dead as a teenager, and then now, you know, I'm in my 50s, and I feel it's just like the same old thing, you know? And plus, I feel like we all think we're a lot younger. Like, I still feel like I'm eternally 19.
My bones creak a little more than they did when I was in my 30s. But
that's true.
Frankly, otherwise, you know, I don't feel that different. I honestly think I'm a little smarter and a little bit kinder. which there's a connection there. Mm-hmm. And a little bit more patient. I try on that
Me
one.
Me too. Me too.
But, you know, it's like, but, and then I keep looking around going, I'm that old? Did you know that American journalism has now decreed that everyone over 70 is elderly?
Okay.
And there was this story about this couple who were in their early 70s from Palo Alto, who got who were visiting in Inverness and went on a hike, and they got lost. Okay. It took them six, and they got literally, they apparently got lost in the middle of a briar patch and couldn't find their way out. And so they were there 6 days, and the search was for the, you know, for their bodies, not them.
Okay.
And pleasantly, that was incorrect, and they were found alive and, you know, thirsty and hungry, but otherwise, you know, otherwise fine. And but what got me was that, you know, for some reason got hooked on the story. And every damn day for a week, they're referring to these people as elderly.
The elderly couple. And you're thinking, what, are they 100?
I'm sorry. Early 70s.
Look at Bobby.
Elderly to me.
Look at Bobby with his nonsense. And yeah, in fact, I was just showing my girlfriend. I go, look at Bob Weir. I was watching his Instagram, his little workout thing yesterday. Like, this guy's nuts. I mean, and look how good in shape he is. You got to take care of your body, though. That's how you try and keep yourself young.
That helps.
It helps. And your mind.
I have been bad. I've been very bad this last year about exercise. But in general, yes. I certainly eat well, thanks to my wife, and I
and you're not drinking, so that probably helps too.
And that probably helps too.
But yep. due to this pandemic, you may be drinking again.
We'll touch base. Who knows?
Well, anyway, Skull and Roses is going to be postponed. Are the organizers encouraging people to keep their tickets and just sort of be in a holding pattern?
Yes. We have sent.
Yeah, you sent me that, the release.
I did send you the
which
the,
basically the said, if you really desperately want to get a refund, we will refund you. But in the
absolutely.
Meantime,
But, you know, I mean, unless you're desperate for that money because, you know.
Because have you seen your 401k?
Why would you need money? You can't go to anything. There's nothing.
That's
there
true.
There is no entertainment on the planet, you know, that you can get to for the foreseeable future. I mean, everything I know is closing. At least for a while. But at any rate, the answer is yes. If you really are hot to get your money back, you can. But I would
just hold
urge
on.
You to hold on, be a little patient, because we really are doing our very best to work on it.
It will. We will rise again.
That's correct.
You can't keep a bunch of hippies down. Yeah, you can't keep those deadheads down. Absolutely.
Right.
So I'm still looking forward to Skull and Roses, and we've been supporting the festival, and I'm looking forward to coming down to Ventura, beautiful Ventura County, when, you know, things are up and running, where everybody's healthier and not in a panic.
Yep. All of the above.
Sign me up.
Yeah, really. Really. I'm in for that.
Well, I'm excited because we still have some great interviews coming up. When we get closer to the festival, the rescheduled festival, we got O'Teal, and I got Jay Blakesburg. We're going to interview him. And we've got, who else do we have?
That's all right. I know, you know, I don't know how many that you put out. I know you've done a million, so.
I've done so many, and I want to thank you so much. Melvin Seals.
Melvin, right.
Right, and we've.
And you know, that's why I'm here. So you're welcome. But yeah, sure.
Thank you for securing all this.
Yeah. We'll do it again next year.
Or whenever we reschedule. Yeah. Because who doesn't want to go to a festival that celebrates the music and community of the Grateful Dead? Hello.
It was a good thought that Chris had when he came up with this idea.
Good idea, dude.
Nothing has changed. Yeah.
Nothing has changed. We will carry on, and we will all come out of this stronger than before. I don't know.
Well, I hope so.
I hope we all come out of this.
I think so.
Oh,
we will
brother.
All come out of it.
This is very strange, though. I mean, my son asked me, he goes, Mom, have you ever seen anything like this in your life? I said, no, absolutely not. I have not. I can't equate this to anything. Dennis McNally, can you equate this? Have you seen anything like this in your life?
No, nothing. All kidding aside, and you know, I am not young. God knows there have been previous serious virus outbreaks, MERS and SARS and so forth and so on. But obviously in America, you know, to shut down all public gathering, whether it's
yes.
churches, music, entertainment, Broadway is shut down, all of the professional sports, March Madness.
Yeah, all the sports. When it finally gets into schools.
Schools left and right.
Yes.
It's extraordinary. It's an extraordinary moment in our time. It's, complicated because quite frankly, the leadership of the country has been very slow to recognize the dimensions of what they're confronting, some old decisions like we don't need a
quarantine
in the National Security Council that deals with pandemics. It's a waste of time. You know, I don't people to just sit around and wait. Those decisions have turned out to be maybe a little premature, but at any rate. It's on a different scale in my lifetime.
In my lifetime. I know. It's funny you said we're saying we're not old in this, and somebody said something. What about the Spanish flu? And we're like, listen, I wasn't alive during the Spanish flu.
That was 100 years ago, okay? And let us hope it's not that bad, because remember that started, went away for the summer, and then
yes,
came back.
With a vengeance.
So, with a vengeance.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, my grandmother died in the Spanish flu.
Oh, she did? Oh, my gosh.
1919.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So.
Yeah, it was.
At any rate.
That's the only thing you can really compare it to, because I can't think of any other. I've never seen this. And, yeah, when you get rid of all the entertainment and all the sporting events.
That's not happened in American history, period.
Yeah.
It's never happened. There are local things, you know. In cities where perhaps they would shut down the theaters or what, for just this sort of epidemic reasons, but nationally, no. And to shut down and you know, the financial hit that so many industries are going to take, whether it's in the variations of entertainment or churches, you know, churches
know.
That are not going to have collection plates for a month.
I know, absolutely. And I did my taxes the other day, and I had to get some stuff, and I made the mistake of actually looking at my 401k. That hurt.
I've always managed, even in 08, like I really did. I tried not to look, you know, I didn't check every day and all that. The last few days I've checked far too much.
Yeah, stop looking. Ignorance is bliss.
I got to stop looking. It is not, you know, you just got to wait it out. That part's, you know.
Well, I know, and don't panic. But if you need, you know, any food, I am stocked up now.
Thank you, man. I'll give you a ring.
Give me a call if you need anything.
All right,
Dennis, thank you so much. We will talk
anytime.
Soon, and it's always a pleasure.
It is a pleasure. Take
all
care,
right.
Milo.
You too.
All
bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
Festival Nation, celebrating the magical world of music festivals.
Thanks to longtime Grateful Dead publicist Dennis McNally for joining us on Festival Nation today, along with the CEO of the Pantheon Podcast Network and host of the podcast Rock and Roll Archaeology, Christian Swain. Today we've been talking about how the coronavirus is affecting our festival world as we're watching festivals be postponed, rescheduled, and canceled across the country. We'll continue to bring you your festival updates, and we'll be keeping the festival spirit alive by featuring shows about your favorite festivals. Please reach out and share with me your favorite festival memories and shoot me an email at festivalnationpodcast@gmail.com. Hit me up on social, on Facebook and Instagram at Festival Nation Podcast, or on Twitter at Nation Festival. Any music used in this Festival Nation podcast is owned by the artist and is used for educational and illustration purposes only. Thanks for checking out, liking, sharing, and following Festival Nation on the Pantheon Podcast Network and wherever you listen to your podcasts. Talk to you next time. Peace.
Peace, love, and music. Thanks for being part of the tribe. For Marla Davies and everyone here at Festival Nation, until next time, tune in, turn on.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Reisman, host of the podcast Side Jams, which is now a proud member of the Pantheon family of podcasts. I've been a freelance entertainment journalist for 25 years now, and I often end up in conversations that go off on tangents. Suddenly you're discussing someone's outside passion or hobby, something you didn't know about, and it leads into revelations about their character and about their life outside of their art. I've often had to cut those details out because a story had a strict word count or a specific focus, so here, the entire focus of the podcast is just on their side jam or side jams. For example, Alice in Chains frontman William Duvall spent some time talking to me about reading history, which led him into talking about his public school education and how it was so terrible in high school that he actually managed to get into a private school for free so his life could take a different course. In this series of podcasts, you're going to be hearing my interviews with musicians of all different backgrounds and genres, talking about everything from surfing to collecting antiques to stargazing. I hope you enjoy Side Jams. Please tune in regularly, and I'll have a lot of interesting guests in store for you.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.